Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 383. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you four different ways that you can have one absolutely free of charge, including postage and handling, at the end of the program. Please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape. We have a very powerful message tonight in regard to how to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and what the necessity of it is. We're living in a very cruel, absolutely cruel world, and the Bible never tells us that we are to enjoy everyday life with anybody. It tells us to prepare our hearts for sorrow. And yet people are laughing and playing and giggling and joking and having sexual relationships, watching game shows and all the filthy things also that are going on the, and meaningless things. Not just filthy, but meaningless things, things that are not preparing your heart for sorrow. Prepare your heart for the Lord. And the Bible tells us that we shall have power. John the Baptist says that we shall have power when the Holy Spirit has come upon us. And why have the Holy Spirit? Because you may think that the days of World War II, of course, they're over, but that the wickedness of that era of time is gone. It's even more wicked today than it ever was before. While many people are sitting at home comfortable, they are eating and enjoying everything that is available for them in the United States of America and many other places in the world. There are people that have had their wives murdered and their children destroyed, murdered their entire lives, their houses, everything has been destroyed, and they are not preparing their heart to be able to go through such things as this. The Bible plainly tells us that the last days are the most wicked days of all times, and we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Anyone that tells you that that's the same thing when you get saved, they are either naive or they're the devil. Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Of course, we have to receive that. But if we're going to make it through this world today and through the tribulations, and we must go through the tribulations because Jesus, those of us that are going to live, because Jesus said that he's not going to come and get us until after the tribulations. He said immediately after the tribulations he will. We'll see the sign of the Son of Man in the sky. And then we're going to, those of us that are still alive at that time, we're going to see him coming back to earth again. And the people that never prepared themselves for judgment or prepared themselves for heaven are going to be praying for the rocks and mountains to fall on them to hide them from the wrath of the living God. But let's right now go up to the throne of the Lord to ask him to open your eyes, open your heart, your spirit, for you to be able to receive the truth. Because you could joke and laugh and carry on like this. That's what the Jews were doing. They thought they were going to go into a bath. But the Roman Catholic Nazis did not have baths prepared for them. They put them into the gas chamber and the ovens, and they burned them. And the people could see the smoke going up of these dear chosen people of the Lord. And you may be faced with this, or similar things, or you may be obliterated immediately if an atomic bomb is dropped on you, or drive-by shootings and all these different things. And then hell is a lot worse. The lake of fire is a lot worse than even the death camps in Germany. But let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask him to anoint this service. Father, anoint this service. Let not me get in the way. Let everyone receive this message for the badly needed baptism of the Holy Spirit, to give everyone the strength to be able to go through the tribulations And Lord, for us to be able to have your guidance, your leading guidance and direction, so that we don't fall into the pitfalls of those that are being destroyed, annihilated today. We know that the government, the Roman canon government, is instructing the one world troops to bomb many countries, to destroy them because they don't want to become democratic democracy, or they don't want to fall under this wicked dictatorship. Lord, let everybody receive this, and that receive that their souls to be saved and the church to be strengthened. Lord, we must be born again. We want everybody to know that, and let them hear the message from you through me. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, here's Faig Springman, one of my very favorite gospel singers, to sing Jesus Walked That Lonesome Valley.
Jesus walked this lonesome valley. He had to walk it by himself. Oh, nobody else could walk it for him. He had to walk it for himself. I must go and stand my trial. I got to stand it by myself. Oh, nobody else can stand it for me. I got to stand it by myself. I got to stand it by myself. By myself.
Praise the Lord. Faig Springman. Okay, every time I think about the things that are being done to human beings, the things that happened to the Jewish people, God's chosen people, because of the vicious Vatican controlled by the devil, this is the Antichrist. I heard one of the preachers today, Reverend Hagee, telling that, you know, the Antichrist is one, just a man. But Christ is a man, too. There's only one Adam and one last Adam. And one, the first Adam, this is the body of Antichrist. And the last Adam, Jesus, is the corporate body. He's the Savior, the creator of heaven and earth, and he also is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end. And he lives in us. And this is why human beings are very important to the Lord, because he created us for him to live in us and through us, and to do the things that he wants to do. And this is a message that I've been bringing for the last few days. In all the earth, the same as Genesis 1:26. If we know God's plan, every time we read the word man or the word earth, our hearts should jump within us. Verse 2 continues, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, you have established. What has he established? Strength. And that's what we need. We have strength, power, after the Holy Spirit comes upon us because of your adversaries to stop the enemy, Satan, and the avenger. Now, these babes and sucklings refer to man, and the emphasis in this verse is upon God using men to deal with the enemy. Now, referring to the Holy Spirit, none of us has any power whatsoever. No spiritual power unless we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When people receive, when they become conscious that they are sinners, I'm just talking about unsaved people, when the consciousness that they are sinners, they become conscious that they are not living the life of the Lord Jesus Christ in themselves. They're not living a well-pleasing life for God or to God. And to people that really are fearful of the Lord, and that's our whole duty, is to fear God and keep His commandments, when you become convicted of your sins, if you don't do something about it right away and let the Lord take over, this is a painful sense of continual failure and defeat in the battle with sin. There are so many people that I know in the churches that are failures, and they're defeated in the battle with sin, Satan in the world. The frequent loss of God's light and His joy when you become born again of the Spirit, the joy and the light of God's presence, makes us have perfect peace and abiding fellowship, of which the Word of God speaks in impossibility. People just think it's impossible for them to have such a relationship with the Lord, to have peace in this world and abiding fellowship with the Lord and the presence of this perfect peace with God in them. Okay, before the great conversion, when we get saved, when we realize that our lives are not well-pleasing to the Lord, and when we understand that because of it, we will spend eternity not in heaven. And there's only two places to spend eternity. In the Word of God, I've been deeply stirred by the fact, the good news, that it would be possible to testify of victory over sin and continuous walking in the light as the rule of Christian experience. I saw that there were promises in God's Word after I was saved, after the Lord frightened me. He put the fear of God on me to warn people. But a lot of people do not know how to receive the promises of God. Hopefully, you'll hear a message of faith as a resting. The Lord tells us to rest continuously on Him, on His Word. So a lot of people say, well, resting in the Lord is just taking a day off. That isn't what rest is. To rest in the Holy Spirit. God's Word is the Holy Spirit. God's Word is Jesus, and Jesus is Spirit. The words He speaks are Spirit and life. So there's a resting on Christ's Word. And you'll see by faith, you can claim and receive the power of Christ, or the Word of God, to do in Him as you may have thought before, that it would be impossible to allow God or for you to be able to do anything that is spiritual, or to be able to keep your soul under the chastisement, under the chastisement of the Holy Spirit, under the rule of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Word of God, which is the Spirit. He will open your understanding to be able to see this very clearly and confirm this. Now, he's going to confirm this tremendous fact in yourself. Now, if you don't read the Word of God, the commandments of the Lord, and if you don't keep the commandments of the Lord, it's impossible for you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because He gives the baptism of the Holy Spirit to all those that keep His commandments. And all, when you see this great fact in yourself, all these sudden things become at once real to you. You will be ready to testify of what God had done for you. When this happens to you, you need to testify of this in to everybody that you can get to, in every kind of circle there is. You have to speak with others of the old life that you led before. They too have lived of the new life and joy that God has now given you, and of this simple way in which, through faith, you have found the passage from the one to the other. The blessing that will follow you will be tremendous, tremendous, powerful, big, great. Many who are longing for a holy life, that you've never been able to find it or receive it before, and this is what we have. Without holiness, you're never going to see God or live with Him in the kingdom of heaven. So you're longing for a holy life. You'll find the help that you need by your testimony in the power and joy of the Holy Spirit. This is power. An atmosphere was created of which the precious is presence of the Lord is felt. Even as you witness and testify these things. So the intensely personal call to confession and surrender of what was wrong in the past. You have to give up your former life. You have to give up your life in order to have the Lord's life living in you. The joyous testimony of what Christ has made possible and the uncomplicated appeal to come and by a single act of faith prove at once about God's faithfulness and power. It brings a message and a blessing that many, many people in the world have never heard or thought of before, or actually thought that it was possible. Why am I telling you this? My reason is to point out and press home upon everyone that I can get to in this world that hears me and these tremendously great thoughts which mark these testimonials, these messages of which everything that I talk about attempt to illustrate. The first aim is always to uncover the evil lie that a carnal Christian life is all that is possible. It's impossible to live a Christian life and not be carnal. I see a lot of evidence that living a Christian life is carnal from a bunch of people that don't believe that it's possible to have a Christian life without being carnal. I see it all the time. It's the most abundant thing I see in the Christian realm. Nothing in this entire world does more harm in the body of Christ than the secret thought that obedience is impossible. Until believers see the fallacy of this heresy and honestly view their life of continual failure as sinful and unallowable by the Lord, there's no way, no kind of preaching will help you. Nothing will help you at all if you believe that you can live a sinful life and enter the kingdom of heaven and still call yourself a Christian. The first lesson must be that to walk after the flesh with a continually yielding to self will is contrary to what God absolutely requires and actually gives. The second aim of any teaching is to make clear that God has, in reality, made a provision in Christ, the Almighty Savior. He gives that to you, Savior, a total escape from sin, and in the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, by which the life of victory and rest and fellowship can be maintained. All this must be maintained on a daily basis. We must be victorious in the Spirit dwelling in us because it's life, the life of victory and the life of rest and the life of fellowship. It must be continuously on a daily basis be maintained. And this is why the Lord tells us to deny ourselves, our old life of sin and flesh, and walk in the Spirit. Take up the cross and follow the Lord Jesus Christ daily. Christ, in his saving power, can and is going to be real within you. He can be in every one moment by moment, second by second, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day. It is only as we see in God's Word this life. If you're reading God's Word, the Bible, the Holy Spirit, you can see that this kind of a life is the life that is required. It has been prepared for us that we can have the courage to hope for it. Do you have the courage to hope for it? Then there's the third point, that the transmission from the old life of stumbling and groping, fellowship can be made in a moment by one decisive step. It just, all this can be given to you in just one moment. All you got to do is make a decision, a final decision. And then, this is possible because it is nothing more than a new act of faith in Christ, trusting Him to work in you, in everyone, in all of us, like we have failed to do ourselves. We cannot do it by ourselves. We must be in Christ. He must be in us. I, in the most zealous way, request those of you that hear this message to regard this message as a very simple personal appeal. It's very simple to just receive what the Lord says. After all, He is God. Ask God to deal with you and to show you whether you are walking in that path of absolute surrender and close fellowship to which you are called. If you listen to this message as a scholar to gather more truth into notebooks, I mean, if you do it that way, or as one simply desiring to be more educated, you will very likely be disappointed, because that isn't what it's all about. But if you hear me, or you hear this message, or if it's typed up for you, and you read it as a person desiring deliverance from sin, you will very likely be blessed with humility, or the comfort that God may, by His Spirit, bless you with. And bless the written word which is preached. But, you know, if you just hear the word and you don't receive it and you don't make the decision to launch out into the deep and just say, this is it, I'm throwing my whole life away, I'm going to walk in holiness. So the word which is preached, as it has pleased God to bless the spoken word when we were gathered in His presence. I commit this message and its to its listeners, to His Holy Spirit, to His holy care. Amen. Those who read the Bible, you're going to know that these are well-known words about the Holy Spirit. Some are found in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 4. Now here it is. These people that followed the Lord Jesus Christ in His ministry for 3 years, they were His disciples, they were learning from Him, and they went through the different trials and tribulations with Him. After He rose from the dead, and they saw Him ascend into the kingdom of heaven, He told them to tarry in Jerusalem so that they were would be endued with power from on high. And in Acts 2:4, it states, quote, they were all filled with the, all the way up, filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? If you are, you've got the power. You don't sin ever anymore. You don't lie anymore. You don't lust. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and this is right here, this is in the book of Ephesians 5:18, it also states, be filled with the Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit. That is. One text is a narrative. It's telling you what happened on the day of Pentecost. It tells us what actually happened. The other is a commandment. Yeah, it's not something that you're just listening to when you're going to jot down in your notebook, then go home and say, okay, I heard it. The other is a commandment for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you're not, well, you're not going to be, you're not prepared for what's going to be happening in this world. And you're not, you'll fall. The commandment tells us what we must be. We must be filled with the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
That's a must. In case there is any doubt about it actually being a command, we find it linked to another command. Be not drunk with wine, .. but be filled. Commandment, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Now, you should be sure, I am sure, that if I ask you a question as this, let me ask you a question. Do you try to obey the command to not be drunk with wine? Do you? Well, some of you say you do, and some would say, you might say immediately, of course, I keep that command as a believer. I obey that commandment. All right. But now let's find out about the other part of that commandment, which is a commandment. Now, do you? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? It says, command, be filled with the Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit. Have you obeyed that command? Are you walking in the Spirit every day? Do you lie anymore? Do you lust? If you're filled to the brim with the Holy Spirit, there's no room for Satan to get in there. Is that the life that you are living? If not, the question comes right away. Why not? And then the next question is, are you willing to take up that commandment, to take up the cross, deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow the Lord? And the Lord says, be filled with the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, well, are you doing that? Are you willing to take up that commandment? Are you ready to obey it and say, by God's power, I'm going to obey? Not, and if you say, well, but the Lord hasn't given, the power is here. When you turn your entire life over to the Lord, well, then you have the power. It's just a simple step of faith, just believing the Lord. I will not rest until I have obeyed that command, until I am filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. From the very beginning, we must limit ourselves to the simple question of listening to the commandments of God's Holy Spirit in His Word. From the moment we want to put away our multiplicity type of life or notions and conceptions about the filling of the Holy Spirit. If a milk bottle is filled full of milk, it's full. And if you, created in the image and likeness of the Lord, are filled with God, then there's no room for anything else. When a bottle is filled with milk, and it's just really filled up to the brim, there isn't any room for anything else. And if you're filled up to the brim of the Holy Spirit, there is no... And remember, there's no private interpretation of the Bible. It means exactly what it says. You'll find that in the book of Peter, 2 Peter, I believe it is. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a commandment, be filled. So much so that you can't receive anything else. I want to press in on the realization of the one special object. I am now aiming at you with. And the message that we say, we believe. Oh yes, Lord, we believe. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be filled. Okay, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God. So he says, be filled with, completely filled with the Spirit. God has something for every believer. He calls, quote, my child, I want you filled. This is what God wants. This is what God commands. I want you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let your answer be, Father, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit too, and I am ready to receive it right now. I yield myself now to obey my God. Let me be filled with the Spirit, with your Spirit, Father, right now. And to clarify what it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, let me say that it does not mean a state of high excitement or of immediate, absolute perfection. When I was filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I was perfect enough to go to heaven at that time, but the Lord wanted me to rule the world, so I had to become perfect. This is a process. Jesus had to go through the process of human living, and who are we that we don't? We grow in power, God's power. We grow in grace, grow in power, is what that means, okay? We grow in perfection. It's a process to be perfect. But if we're walking in the Spirit, if we're filled with the Spirit, we're saved. If we die, the Lord sees us pressing on for perfection, a state in which there will be no growth if we don't grow. What do they mean? When we get filled with the Holy Spirit, I was filled with the Holy Spirit 3 years after I was saved. I was baptized at Zuma Beach in the water there of the ocean. And I had to start growing. I started reading. We have to grow. And then I received the Holy Spirit 3 years later. That isn't it. Being filled with the Spirit is simply this: having your whole personality yielded to Christ's Spirit. A lot of people say, that's just me. The Lord doesn't want you to be you anymore. If you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can't just be you. You've got to yield your entire personality and your entire life over to Christ's Spirit, the Holy Spirit's power. When the whole soul is yielded to the Holy Spirit, God Himself, Himself will fill it right up to the brim to where nothing else can get in there. It'll come to your mind to lie. Oh, you will not do it. It'll come to your mind to lust. You won't do it because you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Nobody has any respect, not even humans, for a person that is claiming to be a Christian and they're liars and they're lusting. They're dogs. Or they're mean to children or to adults. And they pick on them. You're not filled with the Holy Spirit if you're doing these things. Now the question is, what is needed for you and me to be filled with the Holy Spirit? The question is of the utmost importance to you, my friend, and to me. I've already been filled. And if we would find the answer, we must allow God to search our lives. Being completely turned over to the Holy Spirit is like if the Lord says, will you give up everything for me? If I tell you to give up your wife, your children, if I tell you to give up your husband and your children, if I tell you to go to Istanbul or China, will you go when I tell you to go? This is being totally turned over to the Holy Spirit. Well, how do we know the Holy Spirit? You don't. You have to be acquainted with the Holy Spirit. If you are not, well, then don't take off. You might be getting some kind of a message from the devil that you've been following all along. Search me and try me. You have to search the Lord, and you want Him to search and try you. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. And then it goes, search me and try me, and so on and so forth. You have to be honest with the Lord and say, search me and try me. Put me through the test. Tell me to do something and see if I will refuse you. Lord, have I ever refused you? Have thine own way, Lord. We sing the hymn that God might search us and try us. And that searching will help us to look into our heart and life and say, am I in the condition in which God can fill me with the Holy Spirit? Have I kept all of His commandments? Because the Lord says, if you say, well, how can I keep the commandments if I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, I sure was keeping His commandments for 3 years and I didn't receive the Holy Spirit. I reckon the Lord allowed that to happen to me to let me know that some people take time to do that. But I was really seeking. And then Robert Aguri, a minister that I admire very much from the Four Square Church, I heard him on the radio preaching chapter 3 of the book of Galatians. And he said, did you receive salvation by the works that you did, or did you receive it by faith? And that was so funny to me. Of course, it's nothing that I did. I didn't even believe in God. And then God opened my eyes that he was there. Powerful! I felt his spirit. I heard him talking. And then I started seeking when I met Sue, and she was telling me about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I saw it in the scriptures, and I wanted it, and I was seeking it. But if you're just not paying any attention to it, you've never surrendered your entire life over to the Lord, your former life. As God answers, some of you may be able to honestly say, thank God, I am ready. I've been keeping your commandments, Lord. You may then perhaps see that you have been kept back from this full blessing by some ignorance of yours, or prejudice of yours, or meanness in you, or picking on people, or you just don't believe. You don't have the faith, or some kind of wrong thoughts that you had, or lusting that you've had, or wrongdoings, and you never take it upon yourself to wake up in the morning and say, Lord, let me crucify myself. Lord, whatever is going to happen today, Lord, lead, guide, and direct me. Oh, Father God, praise your holy name. Yes, I have said that you should praise and thank the Lord, but there was a person in the church that got into some of the children's ears and says, you have to praise and thank the Lord. Praise them. They're praying already. And these people are not pastors, and they should, if they're not praising and thanking the Lord, I just tell people that you get a hold of the Lord a lot faster like that. But I don't yell at children and tell them how to pray. We have people in the church that have these wrong things and wrong doings of what it is. It seems that the best place to find the answer to your question is to look at the way in which Christ prepared the disciples for the day of Pentecost. That's the infilling of the Holy Spirit, chapter 2 of Acts. It reminds me of what is done in heathens out in the world, all throughout the world, where the missionary brother or sister preaches, converts, and they come back to the Lord, and he forms a baptismal class. He sometimes trains these young converts for a year or longer to educate and test them. People have to be tested and tried. The Lord tests people. He doesn't tempt them, but he tests them. And to prepare them for the Christian life, Jesus had his disciples 3 years in his baptismal class, and they went through a time of training and preparation. It was not magic or an arbitrary teaching, as uncertain in what to do, or in the things that are the Holy Spirit came upon them. The Holy Spirit came upon them. They were prepared for it. John the Baptist told them what was to come. He not only preached the Lamb of God who was to shed his blood, but he preached the whole Word of God. Not only did he preach, but he tells us that it was by special revelation from God that he on whom John saw the Holy Spirit descend would baptize with the Holy Spirit. That Jesus, the one that he saw the Holy Spirit descending on, would be the one that would baptize with the Holy Spirit. He said, I indeed baptize with water, but he that cometh after me shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with power. Amen?
Amen.
Well, who was that? That was Jesus when God said, quote, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," Matthew 3:17. And the Holy Spirit of God came down upon Jesus and baptized him with the Holy Spirit as he rose from out of the water at the baptism of John. So be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, if Jesus couldn't have conducted his ministry without being filled with the Holy Spirit, how do you expect to? You people that pay no attention to what the Christian life is all about, Christianity is walking in the Holy Spirit, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Spirit. Not only is it something that you read, it is a commandment that you must do. Now do it and stay there. What did the training of those disciples consist of? How were they prepared for the baptism of the Holy Spirit? First of all, remember that they were men made out of the dirt of the ground who had forsaken everything. Remember this, they had forsaken everything. They had forsaken all to follow Jesus. Jesus went to the one and said to him, "Forsake your net." And he said to another one, "Leave that place in the receipt of customs and come and follow me." And they did. They did it immediately. And could afterwards say by the mouth of Peter, quote, "Lord, we have forsaken all and followed thee." Their houses, their families, their good name. Well, what do you mean their family? They left their father. They were mending nets and they just left him immediately. Would you? Well, then you're selling your soul for whoever it is on this earth that you put before God, before Christ. That's Matthew 19:27. Men mocked and laughed at them. People called them a cult. They called them disciples of Jesus. And when he was despised and hated, they were hated as well as he was. And that's why I'm hated today, because I've sacrificed my career, a Beatles album, all sorts of things. I left everything to serve the Lord, yet I consider the things that I left, as Paul considered them, as dung and nothing. My God, I serve God! What about you? And just because you happen to say, "Well, I'm a follower for about 10, 15, 20, 30 some years, and, you know, we just rely on you, Tony." Ah, that isn't the way it works. You better read the scriptures and read them real strongly this time. They were hated. They identified themselves with him. They utterly yield themselves to do everything that he commanded them, to do his bidding. This is the first step in the way to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We must forsake all to follow Christ in order to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm not speaking, not right now speaking, about forsaking sin. That isn't all there is to it. Because that's the first thing you do. I've already done that. You've supposedly already done that. You have to do when you are converted. That's just the first step. You have to forsake sin the minute that you are converted. You already have done that, haven't you? So you have to go forward from here. But there is something that has a far wider meaning. Of course, you have to forsake sin. You have to. You knew that when you first got saved. Many believers think that they receive Jesus as someone who can save them and help them, yet all but deny him as master. They haven't surrendered their life to Him. They haven't forsaken the entire world. They're still worldly. They think they have a right to have their own will in 1,000 different ways, 10,000 different ways, and 10,000 different things, or more even. They don't even realize it because they're not conscious in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not teaching them because they're not surrendered to the Holy Spirit. They speak a lot of what they want. They do very much what they like. They use their property and possessions as they desire. They are their own bosses, their own masters, and have never dreamed of saying, "Jesus, I forsake all to follow you." Yet, this is the commandment of Christ. This is the Holy Spirit talking. Christ is Lord of all infinite riches and glory. He deserves it, and He is such a heavenly, spiritual, divine gift that has been given to us, that unless we yield everything, our hearts cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit. Cannot be filled with Him. Jesus' words have not changed. Forsake everything. Forsake all and follow me. That's what Jesus says. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so we have 1 minute more for a testimony. Make it short.
This is from James in New York, New York. Keep on preaching. The media continues to perpetuate lies of government, drug makers, NASA close ties. Unifying bureaucratic might is just one more tactic that they use for fright.
Mm-hmm. Well, who's that from and where did it come? What town?
From New York, New York.
New York, New York. Okay. Now then, I see that my time is up. So right now, if you want to give your heart to the Lord, it isn't a matter of do you want to. If you want to go to the kingdom of heaven, you must. You have to give your heart to the Lord and be filled with the Spirit. So right now, let's go up to the throne and ask the Lord to fill you with His Spirit. Because there's no way that you're going to enter the kingdom of heaven and no way you're going to make it through the tribulations. The Lord knows how to chasten people. He could take allow your family. Hearing from the Spirit of the Lord, you could be going someplace where your whole family will be annihilated. And so if you care for your family, the Bible says that if you get saved, He says He'll save them as well. Isn't that such rewards to just see these? I've seen motion pictures of these Jewish little babies and their mothers and their dads and the little boys and little girls being herded in. And this is the same thing that comes from Vatican, the one world cult, the government called the beast, the Lord calls it the beast, and the news media, Satan's mouth. And, you know, the Lord says, be filled with the Spirit. I pray that these people will be saved. I pray that they will and that they'll be filled with the Spirit and the world will be a much better place, won't it?
Amen.
Much better. So say this prayer to the Lord and don't let hatred enter into your heart, just hatred for the devil. The Lord doesn't hate you, He just hates the things that you and I have done in the past and He wants you to be filled with the Spirit. Now say this prayer. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. Your word says so. You will save my soul. Your word says that all that call upon you shall be saved. So, Lord, you say to the Lord, I am calling on you, Lord, and I am trusting you, Lord, Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now, just praise and thank the Lord. And this is program number 383. And here's Sharon to tell you four different ways to receive a copy. If it's free, postage and handling as well, you're going to want to go over this over and over again, and you'll receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Just let the Spirit live in you.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and we have to continue on to the end. And that's why I sing this song called Onward Christian Soldiers.
National attention has been focused on banner headlines proclaiming Christians are being kidnapped, tortured, committed to mental institutions, accused of brainwashing and mind control. Arise, Christian America. The King is coming. Hold fast. The day of the Lord is here.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into see his banners go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war.